Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am your host, Chip Patterson. And if you are looking for some escape from the Manti Te'o story that is constantly evolving and seems to be dominating the news cycle, my guest, Tom Fornelli, and I, we've got you covered. Tom, are you okay with taking your eyes and ears away from this ongoing saga and talking a little Big Ten?
Yes, I am. I think I was sick of the Manti Te'o story like an hour and a half after it first broke, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Certainly we are happy to turn our attention. It is an odd story. Regardless, we have not addressed it yet on this podcast. We may, but honestly, my opinion leading this show, we're going to wait for just more chips to fall, because I don't want to send something out into the podcast world that is immediately burnt up by the next piece of developing news. So we are excited to bring you the next in our What Went Right, What Went Wrong series. If you tuned in to the SEC episode with Jerry Hinnon, it was a doozy. And now we get to run it back all over again, this time with Tom and the Big Ten. So, Tom, are you ready to shake out what went right and what went wrong for each Big Ten team?
Well, I don't think we'll be spending much time on what went right, but yes, I am ready.
Well, we need at least one thing, and we'll start up in the Legends Division, knocking them out first. First of all, Nebraska, they did end up winning the Legends Division. Unfortunately, they did not show up at all for the Big Ten title game. They finished 10-4 overall after a bowl loss, 7-1 in conference play, though. First of all, let's start with what went right. What was one thing that sort of keyed the Cornhuskers' success this season?
I would think that if you're looking for the one area of the most success, it would have to be Taylor Martinez, who, despite, you know, many jokes made, many of them by me, at the expense of his throwing motion as a quarterback, Taylor finished the season as Big Ten's top-ranked efficient passer with a rating of 141.61. And, yeah, he had 12 interceptions and only 23 touchdowns, but he improved a lot as a quarterback this year. And not just, you know, he still had a success running. He's still really fast. You know, you just have to think of that run against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and also the run against UCLA at the beginning of the year. But he really, his throwing motion did not get any prettier, although it improved a little bit. But just as a quarterback overall, he became a better player, and I think that's the biggest reason why Nebraska was able to win the Legends Division this season.
So it wasn't necessary, and I agree with you, the throwing motion did not get any prettier. But I think that he also got more, there's more jokes made, and people are faster to jump on him because of his history turning the ball over. Would you say it was his decision-making maybe that improved when you're talking about being a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he still had the 12 interceptions, so he wasn't perfect by any means, but you know, it's more interceptions than he had the last previous years, but he also threw a lot more passes this year. So technically, his decision-making did improve. And the interceptions he did make, by and large, weren't as stupid, if I can't think of another word to use, as they were in the past, where he would make a throw that you just had no idea why the hell he even thought that was something he should be doing. Whereas this year, most of his interceptions were just, you know, the result of good defense.
Now, what was one thing for Nebraska across the season that stands out that did not go right, one thing that went wrong?
Its defense really let it down in key games. You looked at that game against UCLA at the end of the year. I don't think we really realized how good UCLA was going to be this season at that point. But the Cornhusker defense did nothing to stop UCLA. And even though Martinez and the offense had a great game that day, it wasn't enough, because UCLA's offense was just able to march up and down the field and score at will. And then you look at the loss to Ohio State in October. Ohio State put up 63 points. I don't care how good of a team is. If they're putting up 63 points on you, that's probably more your fault than it is theirs. And then it finishes in the last two games of the year in the Big Ten title game, where Wisconsin says, 63, we'll score 70 on you. And then Georgia puts up 45 on them in the bowl game. So it's like every time Nebraska had that big game where it could make the statement, you know, to say, you know, we're for real, the defense faltered. The only good game the defense had was against Michigan in late October. They won 23-9, but that was the game where Denard Robinson originally got hurt, left the game, and Russell Bellamy, they didn't go to Devin Gardner. They went to third stringer Russell Bellamy to play quarterback for the rest of the game, and that went about as well as having your third string quarterback playing on the road would go.
Well, moving from that Michigan game to that Michigan team, of course, the Wolverines, they finish 8-5, but still 6-2 in conference play. They had the loss to Alabama and then the loss to South Carolina in the bowl game. Overall, they hampered a lot by injuries. Denard Robinson did not really get to have that great final year. You know, he was a borderline like Heisman contender. Then he just gets rocked by Alabama. He ends up having the arm elbow issues throughout the season. Devin Gardner moves into the quarterback position. It was an odd year for the Wolverines. Taking a step back now that we're sort of removed from the season, what stands out to you is what went right for Michigan?
You know, it's weird. I don't think a lot went right for Michigan, but I think a lot of that has to do with the expectations being raised after last year's Sugar Bowl appearance. But I think the strangest thing about this team is that what maybe the best for it came out of was something that you wouldn't think, and that was when Denard Robinson got hurt. Because I feel that when Devin Gardner took over, he's nowhere near the dynamic player that Denard Robinson is, and he's never going to be. But I think Gardner is a much better quarterback and a much better fit for the offense Brady Hoke and Al Borden plan on running in Ann Arbor, you know, next year and the years after that once Robinson's gone. They adapted the offense in recent years just to fit to Robinson. But I think, you know, so I think for Michigan next year, there's a bit more optimism going into the year because they know that Gardner can lead this offense and they know they can go with what they're, you know, comfortable with Gardner.
Now, what was the, like you said, a lot of things went wrong, and especially, you know, trying to keep in mind that failing to meet expectations would be something that went wrong. What was one sort of on-field aspect, maybe, where you think there were breakdowns this season?
Just, you know, people will mention Michigan lost 5 games this year, and the teams they lost to were Alabama, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Ohio State, and South Carolina. No shame in losing to those teams for the obvious reasons. I mean, especially considering 2 of those losses came against the 2 teams that played for the national title. But at the same time, you're Michigan. You know, these are your big games, and you lost, except for save for finally beating Michigan State in a 12-10 thriller in mid-October. It's just the games that Michigan needs to be winning for it to really say it's back and it's, you know, the national prominent program again that's going to be able to compete with Ohio State. It didn't win those games this year. And yeah, they were tough, but still, until they win them, I don't think we could really say Michigan's back.
Another team on the recent rise, Pat Fitzgerald has Northwestern. Are you accepting, before we sort of dive into what went right, what went wrong, is this the beginning of Northwestern sort of stringing together enough wins that you start putting them in that category of like a handful of teams that you're looking at? Like before each season, before you really know, look at the rosters, you're like, okay, we know that about a handful of teams have a shot to be competitive in this conference. Do you include Northwestern on that right now?
I think that as long as Pat Fitzgerald is in Evanston, Northwestern is a team that's going to matter in the Big Ten, yes.
Nice. Well, what of all the things that went right during this 10-3 season that finished with that elusive bowl win, 5-3 in conference play? They did fall short in a couple of big games that could have put them in the Big Ten championship hunt. But what went right for Northwestern this season?
I think the biggest thing that, you know, the Northwestern fans will take from this year, besides winning 10 games, which is huge for the program, what's bigger was finally winning that bowl game, getting that monkey off the back by beating Mississippi State, an SEC team of all teams, in a bowl game to finally win. But also, I think, you know, Northwestern, they struggled a bit in the Big Ten by going 5-3, but if you look at them outside the conference, of their non-conference wins outside the bowl game over the SEC, they beat Syracuse, Vanderbilt, and Boston College, all teams from major conferences. So this is a team that I feel like it's not only on the way up, but it's actually better than some other teams from other conferences already. So I don't think, you know, they're ever going to be a program that's going to be the Ohio State or the Michigan or even the Nebraska level. But they're going to be a team now that's basically in the hunt every year. And if any of the other teams has a down year or there's just an upset here or there, this is a Northwestern team that could be, once again, returning to the Rose Bowl.
That's true. All right, now what? I hope I didn't spoil it for you in my intro, but what were some of the things that did not go well for Northwestern, things that Pat Fitzgerald is going to be looking to correct heading into 2013?
The defense still needs a bit of work. The main problem for Northwestern, the running theme for them for the last few years, not just this year, has been fourth quarters, the game becoming interesting. you know, they'll be up by 20 going into the fourth quarter, and then they'll let an opponent back in, and sometimes, like against Nebraska or Penn State or Michigan, it costs them the game. They actually lose the game. And in other times, they're actually able to hold on, but it makes it look a lot closer. I still think that if Northwestern wants to make that true leap from just being a contender or a team to be reckoned with to being, you know, a force and a favorite in the Big Ten, they still need to improve on that defense, and they still need to learn to play a complete game. And that's one thing that's scary about the program is it went 10-3 this year, and it's still not playing a complete game, really.
Yeah, the you look back at some of those games that they lost, and you're a little bit disappointed in the performance, and you realize how close this team could have been, especially Nebraska, Michigan, but the teams we've mentioned at the top of the legends. I mean, did either of them really blow you away this year either?
No, this is Northwestern was a couple quarters away from playing for the Big Ten title this year.
Yeah, certainly. Moving on to Michigan State, another disappointing season, especially just that 3-5 in conference play, 7-6. You wrote up the TCU Michigan State bowl game, right? I mean, it looks ugly. I mean, right?
It was a win, so Michigan State's not going to give it back. But it was an entertaining game in that it got really entertaining at the end because neither team played well enough to put the other one away for the first two quarters. But yeah, it was not a very pretty game to watch. No.
Okay, so looking back across the whole season, what went well for the Spartans?
Wow. I mean, the defense, as we all expected it to be, was solid. I mean, you definitely cannot blame this season on its defense because it finished in the top 10 nationwide in scoring defense, only allowing 16 points a game. And if you're only winning 7 games in the season while your defense is only allowing 16 points a game, I think it's fairly obvious where the problem was. So I would say the highlight for this team this year was the very first game of the year when it beat Boise State to open the season 17-13 in East Lansing. That and Le'Veon Bell hurdling over people occasionally.
Yeah, just occasionally. The thing that sucks is I kind of wish that Le'Veon Bell, like, remember how excited we were at the beginning of the season when we had those first couple of really big games?
Mm-hmm.
Once they got into conference play, they started to get a little sluggish, and I felt like, you know, they would get into a situation where even though Le'Veon Bell finished with 30 carries a game, and you know, he would finish with a lot of yards, he'd never really had that impact because Michigan State just wasn't good enough, and he couldn't carry the team.
Yeah, it became fairly obvious in that loss to Notre Dame in the third week of the year. It was Notre Dame stopped Bell, and Notre Dame showed everybody in the world that if you stop Bell, Michigan State isn't going to be able to do a damn other thing against you. Cause, I mean, even the week after that against Eastern Michigan, Spartans struggled in that game because Eastern Michigan was just loading up the box to stop Bell, and Andrew Maxwell couldn't do anything to really move the ball on Eastern Michigan. So, yeah, Notre Dame showed the world that you stop Bell, and you're going to beat this team more often than not.
The Iowa Hawkeyes had the angry Iowa running back Hayden God had another strong season this year. I'd say he came in and swept out pretty clearly. Kirk Ferentz still around, even though after a 4-8 finish. They did, however, beat Northern Illinois, a team that participated in the Rose Bowl. So they do have that going for them. What else did go well? If you're an Iowa fan, and we know we have several close friends that are, what can they take away from this season that went well?
Honestly, Chip, that's a very hard question to answer because I really don't. They won 4 games, which, okay, yay, but I really don't know what went well besides saying, hey, they beat the Orange Bowl, you know, qualifying Northern Illinois Huskies to start the year. But their other wins were against Northern Iowa, which was a lot closer than it should have been. And then they beat Minnesota, which, okay, respectful win. And they beat Michigan State on the road in 2 overtimes. And at that point, they were 4-2. And you're thinking, you know, things aren't going that well, but they're 4-2 and 2-0 in the Big Ten. And then they lost 6-0 to finish the year.
Right. The schedule caught up with them a little bit, or I thought that it would. It's that 24-21 loss at Indiana that was sort of the pits, as they say.
Yeah, When that game happened, you knew that this team wasn't coming back. And I think you can see it in their play over the final 3 weeks, too. The team, I think after losing to Indiana, I don't want to, you know, but it felt like the team just kind of said, screw it.
Okay, and so, I mean, wait, go ahead.
And And another thing that's funny to me is James Vandenberg was the only quarterback in the nation this year to take every snap from center. And he only threw 7 touchdowns.
Well, weren't they running, didn't they have some, like, he pretty much took over as the main.
Yeah, after their first 4 or 5 running backs died of dysentery, Mark Wiseman moved from fullback to halfback. And he was, you know, there was the whole fun, you know, Twitter Wiseman for Heisman campaign for a few weeks, and even he got hurt.
Yeah. And in that limited experience, finishes with 815 yards and 8 touchdowns, averaging 5.1 yards per carry. But, yeah, not a lot of great. What, obviously, there's a lot of bad. What are you singling out when looking back at Iowa's season?
Just that offense is that offense needs a lot of work. I guess Greg Davis is still going to be there next year, but. Like I said, Vandenberg took every snap at center this year and threw 7 touchdowns. And so how he doesn't lose his job just based on incompetence at some point, it's like that offense, they run 2-yard outs on 3rd and 7. I don't know what else you could say that explains it better than that.
Greg Davis. All right. Well, Minnesota, again, not a lot of great here as we're down at the bottom of the Legends standings in 2012. Golden Gophers finished 6-7 overall after just getting blown out of the water. 2-6 in conference play. What are you taking away from this season as far as things that went well for Minnesota? Obviously, A.J. Barker, the wide receiving core, nothing seems to be working out there. I struggle to find things to take away because it seems like there's just a lot of, you know, bad mojo, sort of a dark cloud floating over there right now. Show me the light, Tom. Show me the light at Minnesota.
See, I actually think there's more to be optimistic about at Minnesota than there is at Iowa. Yeah, Minnesota finished 2-6 in the Big Ten and finished technically below Iowa in tiebreakers, but Minnesota did go to a bowl game this year. They finished the regular season 6-6. And Jerry Kill, you know, his turnaround at Minnesota is very much like what he did at Northern Illinois. He took over a program that had won like 2 games the year before. And a very, you know, last year Minnesota won like 2 games, but then they improved to 6 wins this year. And I would like to see how much more they improve next year. This is a team that started off 4-0 and stumbled to the finish line against the Big Ten. But it got to a bowl game and hung, you know, only lost 34-31 to Texas Tech in that bowl game. That was one of the more entertaining games of the year as far as the Bulls are concerned. And what really has me optimistic about this team going into next year is his numbers weren't that great this year, but freshman Philip Nelson, the quarterback, I was impressed watching him. He's not what he needs to be if Minnesota's going to win, but I see why, you know, there's so much optimism from the coaching staff in him and what they see in him. And I think that as he improves, this Minnesota team is going to improve. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have a winning record next year.
Well, yeah, because they got absolutely nothing from the quarterback play through most of the season. Only averaged about, you know, under 200 yards a game. Well, what's obviously you say Nelson is something good moving forward. What was the one thing you would single out from this season that did not work out well?
The Gophers need to learn how to start winning in the Big Ten. Like I said, they went 2-6, and their 2 wins were a home win against Purdue, and then they won on the road against Illinois. And Purdue and Illinois might actually have been, you know, besides Iowa, were a couple of the worst teams in the conference this year. So, and, you know, against the other Big Ten opponents, they didn't play very well. They never scored more than 14 points in any of their other Big Ten games and generally lost by an average of 20 points. So there's still definitely room to grow, and they have to improve in the conference. But I think they will. I think next year they can get up to 3-5 or 4-4, and that'll probably put them at 7-6 or 8-5.
Yeah, good point. My apologies to Minnesota fans who might be listening. I've got a lot of Big Ten information on my desk right now, and I mistakenly slipped. They did, in fact, give Texas Tech a great run for their money. It is a team in the leaders division that I confused them with that we will get to soon. And
I think I know which team.
You got a hunch? You think?
I got a hunch.
We're moving on to Ohio State. Perfect. Undefeated, untied, 12-0, 8-0. Urban Meyer sat up there on the desk at the BCS title game. Do you think quickly that Ohio State would have been able to play Alabama tighter than Notre Dame?
No.
No?
No. Well, first of all, had Ohio State qualified, nobody would have had to play Alabama.
Because they would have played Notre Dame, right.
yet. But I don't think watching this Ohio State team, yeah, they were good this year, and they were 12-0. But you know how everybody was talking about Notre Dame having a bunch of close calls and being 12-0 and how they didn't deserve to be there? Ohio State's 12-0 wasn't really that different. There was the one-point win against Michigan State. There was the game against UCF early in the year where they really struggled before finally pulling away. They struggled at home against Cal. They struggled at home against Purdue and actually had to come back in the final minutes to win that in overtime. And they struggled against Wisconsin on the road and had to win that one in overtime. So this is an Ohio State team that did win every single one of its games. And there's, you know, nothing not to be proud of there. But to act like this team was really any better than Notre Dame would be foolish, if you ask me.
Yeah, 7 wins by one score or less throughout that undefeated tear. What was the one thing that you have pointed out as just the thing that went really well in the first year under Urban Meyer?
Just the way the offense, I think, quickly adapted to his system. I thought it was going to take, you know, at least a year. I figured that Ohio State was going to lose 3 or 4 games and win most just based on having more talent than most of their opponents. But I thought they'd be a bit slower to adapt. Braxton Miller and the entire offense really picked up on it quickly. And Miller had a fantastic season, as did Carlos Hyde. So there's plenty of reason to think that Ohio State's going to be winning the Big Ten next year when it actually counts.
Now, like we said, there were some close losses. They were undefeated. What are some areas, especially as they, you know, move forward another year with Meyer's staff, what is something that did not go well that maybe the Buckeyes can improve upon when they come back in 13?
Well, I would say the offense is fine. There were some, like, particularly, they weren't terrible in any area on defense, but I feel like at times the defense, you know, there's a lot of young players in the defense that I think will improve it, but the defense still could use work. For the most part, it was a good defense, but it was kind of middling as far as even the Big Ten is concerned. So if the defense improves, and I think it will, then this team could be, you know, pretty scary.
You think, oh, yeah. I mean, I think that not their finish, the fact you've got Braxton Miller coming back, you know, it'll be another the recruits Urban Meyer was able to lock up at the last minute. They'll be one more year into the program. Everyone else will be one more year into this. You've got no arguments there.
It's hard to find a real flaw for a 12-0 team.
But, yeah.
I mean, the defense has room to improve, and if it does, look out.
We moved from there on to the other reason that Wisconsin was able to make a return to the Rose Bowl, the Penn State Nittany Lions, which finished 6-2 in conference play, 8-4 overall. Obviously, Coach O'Brien, fantastic job with what he was able to do with this team, particularly after starting 0-2 after the loss to Ohio and the loss to Virginia with the Sandusky scandal and the sanctions and everything else that was going on. And there's nothing to do but just sort of, you know, you just applaud him and you say, that was a great coaching job. People will look at that season. And it's one of the reasons he got a lot of NFL interest. But he's going to stay right there in Happy Valley. And, he turned Matt McGloin into a passer. Allen Robinson was a revelation at the wide receiver position. They didn't really have any consistent play at running back yet. You know, they were able to, you know, only losses in conference play are to Nebraska and Ohio State. Pretty solid. What do you think was the best thing about Penn State's season this year?
I think the way they fought back more than anything, because if you think about where we were with this team in early September, they started the year 0-2 with losses at home against Ohio, and then they lost to a Virginia team that proved to be pretty bad as the year went on. And they were 0-2, and you were wondering, you know, is this team even going to win 4 games this year? And the team itself, considering what it had gone through with players leaving and then the paternal stuff and everything, with what it had gone through the entire offseason, after starting off 0-2, that team came to a point where it could have just quit and said, we're screwed anyway.
Right.
Or it could do what it did, which was say, you know, F it. We're going to play. We're not done. We're going to show everybody who thinks we're done that we're not. And I mean, they had a great season. Matt McGloin. I mean, we were talking about earlier about Taylor Martinez and the change in him this year becoming a great quarterback. Who would have thought that Matt McGloin would become the quarterback that he did this year? He threw for 3,200 yards and 24 touchdowns. It's like, no wonder NFL teams want Bill O'Brien, because if he could do that with Matt McGloin, what's he going to do with an NFL quarterback?
Yeah. Well, we've seen it, what he can do with an NFL quarterback, but this is, I think that so much of what we saw out of them, I mean, this was, as long as Bill O'Brien's there, if he stays through his contract, is great sign for the program.
we have seen what O'Brien can do with an NFL quarterback, but I think you could say that Tom Brady was a little bit, he was kind of good before Bill O'Brien got there.
All Bill O'Brien, Tom. All Bill O'Brien.
Oh, fine. Fine. You're right.
All right. What's one thing that Penn State that did not go well, what went wrong this year?
No, honestly, they were good on both sides of the ball. It's hard to find the real weakness other than the slow start. Had they not started off, you know, with those two losses, I mean, we're looking at a 10-2 team right here with whose only losses were to Ohio State and to Nebraska. And those aren't exactly bad losses to have. I mean, they lost to Ohio State at home and Nebraska on the road. So those are two losses you understand. And it's just, other than that, I mean, there's not much you can look at this team and say this year that I have, there's something to be sad about. It's just you worry going into next year with like McGloin leaving and the NCAA penalties kind of take, because a lot of the players left transfers, but there was still a lot of talent left in the cupboards. As the sanctions take more of a hold next year and they're able to bring in less, you kind of wonder how they'll be able to maintain it. I think that's what the story is. But as far as this year, I don't think there's much to complain about.
On to Wisconsin, they did benefit from Ohio State and Penn State being ineligible for the postseason this year. They end up trouncing Nebraska in the Big Ten championship game, going to the Rose Bowl and putting up a fight for a very, very good Stanford team under the direction of Barry Alvarez. Got a new coach coming in after Bielema splitting off for Arkansas and Gary Anderson. It seems like a great fit. We've talked about coaching changes before, but real quickly, your two-sentence reaction to how you think Anderson will be able to come in and what he's going to do at Wisconsin.
I worry about his ability to recruit there because he spent his entire career in Utah, but I think as long as he can keep getting the players that Wisconsin's been getting, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't know the story, Anderson, he wowed everybody, and we're very careful to take these nuggets and run with them, but it seems to be well attributed that he did call every single one of his players individually at Utah State before leaving. So he seems to be a good guy, somebody that the Wisconsin fan base will like to rally behind. Now looking,
he even called Lene Kakua.
No, he talked to her for 8 hours, right?
Yes. He actually... She was the person he called to figure out whether he wanted to take the Wisconsin job or not.
That's why it took him so long.
To follow his dreams.
All right, back to the Badgers on field in 2012. What was one thing that went well for let's see, we had a rotating quarterback situation. Daniel Bryan didn't work out. You had Phillips. You had Stavi. Thankfully, you still have Ball and White in the backfield. Defense kind of stepped up. Yeah, at least I thought, but what was one thing that you thought went well for Wisconsin this year?
The NCAA sanctions against Ohio State and Penn State.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, this really wasn't a great Wisconsin team. It looked very good in that title game against Nebraska, but for the most part this year, with the quarterback injuries, and that definitely played a lot because they put a lot of faith in Daniel Bryan to come in and be able to run this offense like Russell Wilson did. But that's, first of all, as we've seen with Russell Wilson in the NFL, that's asking a lot because it turns out Russell Wilson's pretty damn good at football. But also, it's just, that's kind of taking the risk where you're bringing in, you're not going to be able to bring in a transfer quarterback every year and, things are going to keep running like a machine. And there's also problems on the offensive line. They lost players in the NFL and, they had changes in their coaching staff and offense. And I think that all kind of, snowballed and led with the injuries, the changes, and the new quarterback. It just snowballed into a year that was good, but not really up to Wisconsin standards. And there was a story after the Big Ten title game, and I think this played a role too, that Matt Canada, the offense he ran in that title game with all the fly sweeps and all the crazy stuff they were doing, was what he wanted to be doing all year, but Bielema was overruling it. So I kind of wonder, how things might have been different had Canada been able to run that way, his offense, his way all season long.
Yeah, it was like... Bielema didn't make the transition from Paul Chryst to Canada.
Yeah. Good way of putting it.
And also, like you said, you look back, it was a good season, not a great one. That's those last two, an overtime loss to Ohio State and an overtime loss to Penn State in back-to-back weeks. A couple bounces of the ball a different way in either one of those games, and I think that Wisconsin looks back very differently on this season.
Yeah, and that overtime loss to Michigan State hurt, too, because that was a game Wisconsin should have won. And at the end, they kind of went soft on defense. They started playing like a shell prevent, just because Michigan State's offense hadn't done anything all day. But then Wisconsin changed its entire defensive philosophy, and what do you know? Michigan State drives right down the field, scores, and then beats them in overtime. So Wisconsin beat itself there, too.
All right, moving on to the team that I mistook for Minnesota, and again, my apologies, Minnesota fans, for mistaking your, you know, very impressive 34-31 game against Texas Tech for Purdue's New Year's Day debacle against Oklahoma State that featured all. I mean, they at least, you know, they were able to get lots of good looks, because Oklahoma State was down to their second and third string at pretty much all positions by the. By the third quarter, about mid-third quarter. But they did get to a bowl game, 3-5 in conference, 6-7 after the bowl loss. And it's bright, in my opinion. You got Daryl Hazel coming in from Kent State, and that's hopeful. If you look at what he was able to do at Kent State, you know, hopefully this will be another program that he's able to lift up as he tries to take them back to glory days. This is what he's going to have to work with. Not a fantastic season, but they did finish strong with three straight wins in against, you know, pretty easy schedule, but it's what they needed in order to get to the bowl season. Tom, what was your one thing? What went right for Purdue this season?
They got enough bad teams on the schedule.
Yeah.
It's there really wasn't. I mean, Kawan Short's awesome. I love Kawan Short, and I think he's going to do fine.
Going to miss Kawan Short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, even though that defense wasn't great, I think it wasn't Kawan Short's fault. And then there was just so much, like, back and forth between Marv and Terbush on offense, which one is going to be our quarterback, which one isn't. And that never helped the team. But if you just look, yes, Purdue went to a bowl game this year. It won six games. That, you know, it fired Danny Hope. So why would it do that? Well, look at the six teams it beat. It beat Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Michigan, Marshall, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Six teams that aren't exactly, you know, murderer's row right there. And then it lost any time it faced anything with a pulse. And we saw what Oklahoma State did to it, and which made our colleague Matt Hinton openly ponder, was Purdue the worst team to ever play a bowl game on New Year's Day? And I think he is right. I think Purdue was the worst team to ever play a New Year's Day bowl game.
What did not go well? What are you pointing out right now for this podcast?
The offense wasn't terrible, but I don't think they were ever allowed to get any sort of consistency on offense just because of going back and forth between Marv and Terbush. I don't think the coaching staff knew who they wanted to play quarterback at the time, and Danny Hope in particular. And I think that's what cost Danny Hope his job in the end, is they were afraid to make a decision and stick with it. And when you do that on offense, if you don't have that kind of consistency, it's not going to work. And they still scored nearly 30 points a game. So imagine if they just stuck with something, how much better they might have been.
Do you think that Hope felt like he owed it to Marv, or just because of everything he's been through the multiple knee surgeries, the transfers, everything else? Like, you know, people wanted so badly for this to work out that you were almost forcing it?
See, I don't think he was. I understood why Marv was playing. I thought Marv should be the one playing all along. What I wondered was what was his loyal connection to Caleb Terbush, because Terbush wasn't exactly impressing me in any way this year.
All right, fair enough. All right, we're moving on. We'll round out these leaders, and then we will get Tom's Power Five teams in the Big Ten that he feels comfortable about as possible title contenders heading into 2013. But before that, a team that that might not be on that list. Talking about the Indiana Hoosiers, the football team. They finished the season 4-8, 2-6 in Big Ten play. The wins are predictable, much like Purdue. They were against Indiana State, UMass, Illinois, and Iowa. Lost, like Tom said, to most teams that had a pulse, including Purdue. What went well this season? You got a couple things, I guess. You know, this is me struggling. Stephen Houston, I don't know. You got anything else?
Stephen Houston's a good back, but I think you're on the right track. I think what went well with Indiana was in Kevin Wilson's second year with the team. I think this is a team that's starting to pick up on the nuances of the offense he was bringing in. Because even though, you know, Trey Roberson, who was their starting quarterback, went down in like the second or third game of the year with an injury and was out, you know, Cameron Coffin came in fresh off the bench. He didn't have a fantastic, but he still completed, you know, 60% of his passes, 2,700 yards, 15 touchdowns. And I feel like this is an Indiana team that offensively is getting there. Defensively, there's still work. But on offense, this is a team that's going to be putting up points, I think, next season in the future. And, you know, will pose more problems for other Big Ten opponents than they have recently. Like, I think that if we just, you know, we're going to get to my top five in a bit, but I would say if there's a dark horse team in the Big Ten that's going to, you know, be the surprise team next year, I would say it's Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. Kaufman's just a sophomore, and certainly an impressive performance coming in. All right, what's one thing that did not go well? What went wrong for Indiana this year?
The defense was just horrible. I mean, they gave up 35 points a game, and you saw Wisconsin ran for roughly 1,000 million yards on them that one game, where Indiana actually still had a chance to compete for the division title. It just literally got run over and over again by Wisconsin. That defense needs a lot of work, and that defense is what's going to keep this team from, you know, being good until Kevin Wilson can figure that out.
And now, wrapping it up with Tom, I'm gonna ask you, for the entertainment value, I'm gonna ask you to put on your Champagne Room editor emeritus hat as we discuss Illinois, a team that went 0-8 in conference play, 2-10 overall. Tom, what went well for Illinois this season?
Saving the best for last. Wow, what went well for Illinois this season? Well, the season ended, and Basketball season began.
Basketball team's pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Even that's getting kind of crappy lately. But no, as far as Illinois football season, I mean, I don't know if anything really went right. They beat Western Michigan to start the year, which, you know, Western Michigan was a decent team, so, you know, there's some optimism there. But then they went on the road and got destroyed by Arizona State, came back home and beat Charleston Southern, then got killed by Louisiana Tech and never won another game for the rest of the season. It was... There was no aspect of this team that played well. Offense, defense, special teams. I mean, the linebackers were good. That's a positive. They had good linebacker play this year. And that's probably only because the linebackers were on the field so often.
It felt like the way that you mentioned with Iowa, that this Illinois team kind of quit down the end.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but you can... I don't know if the whole team did, but I definitely feel like there were certain players who were, you know, that may have been seniors or on their way to the NFL or graduation that kind of just said, you know, screw it.
Yeah.
They were just kind of just playing out the string. Because, I mean, this is a team that averaged 16 points a game this year and gave up 32 points a game. I mean, that's terrible.
And
it's a Big Ten team doing this. You know, this isn't just some, you know, Sun Belt patsy getting whooped up on. This is a Big Ten program doing that.
Yeah. Well, what do you have? I mean, okay, let's just say what went wrong? Everything. What are you looking forward to? What are reasons that an Illinois fan looks forward into the future and thinks that things could be on the up?
The one positive, you know, a lot of Illinois fans wanted Kim Beckman fired after only 1 year, which probably isn't good in the long run for a program. But what Beckman has done is he's noticed some problems and he's trying to fix them. You know, they had a terrible situation with their offensive coordinators last year, where they had two offensive coordinators. One called plays on first and second down and one called plays on third down, which probably makes as much sense to you as it does to me. But what Illinois has done is they fired Chris Beatty, who was the first and second down offensive coordinator, and replaced him with Bill Cubitt from Western Michigan, who was fired after this year. He's been the head coach there for 9 years previously. And the other offensive coordinator has moved just to coaching wide receivers. So I think there's going to be more continuity and consistency on offense next year. But this is a program that it might improve next season, but it's not going to improve much more than 4 or 5 wins at most.
All right, well, let's send you out of here on this. Give me your Power Five, the five teams to keep an eye on as possible Big Ten title contenders going into 2013.
I think at the top you have to have Ohio State for obvious reasons. And behind them, I would say Michigan, Nebraska, Northwestern, and I'll say... I think Penn State's going to suffer a little bit, so I'm going to go with Wisconsin at the number 5 spot.
And so you've got Penn State on the fringe and Indiana as your dark horse?
Yeah, Indiana is my dark horse team that could surprise people and make a nice bowl run next season.
All right. I'm glad that I can have that one chopped, because if they get off to a hot start, we can when we're doing our normal podcasts on Sunday nights, every time Indiana wins at the beginning of the season, we can just run back the clip of you predicting them being a bowl team just over and over.
Nostradamus.
Yeah, absolutely. But thanks, obviously, to Tom Fornelli. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Tom Fornelli. Be sure to subscribe to all of the Eye on College Football podcasts on iTunes. And be sure to check us out on the blog. You know, hit us up and let us know. It's at IonCFB on Twitter. Or you can get at me at CNPatterson3. And just give us questions. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you think. For Tom Fornelli, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.